All right. Perfect. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Reputation Igniter. We are so excited for you to be here. As always, hit that like button, hit subscribe, get those notifications going so you don't miss a single episode. I'm really excited for this week's episode. We've got Jim Hinshaw here. Jim, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Chris. It's a pleasure. I'm honored that you invited me to come on board, so I'm ready to talk, and you set the scene. We'll go any direction you want, okay?
Awesome, Jim. I appreciate it. I look forward to extracting a lot of that wisdom that you have in you from all your years of experience. And if you're new to the show and you're just joining us, the Reputation Igniter podcast is really focused on you, an HVAC contracting business owner, and helping you build an incredible reputation that spreads like wildfire, precedes you offline and online, and just helps you grow your business on autopilot. There's obviously a myriad of different ways that you can do that. And our focus is always, hey, how do you elevate that customer experience? And there's so many different ways that you can do that. And so, Jim, the reason I asked him on today is he is the vertical vice president of vertical markets for Service Nation, which is an incredible program. You should definitely look into it if you haven't already. I'm sure you've already bumped into them somewhere. They do an extremely impressive job of marketing and get that out there. And that's because they significantly impact the HVAC industry. I believe Jim told me that about 85% of their customers are HVAC guys. So they know that industry very well. And what Jim brings to the table, I think that, you know, maybe some others don't, is the fact that, you know, he started with Tran back in the day and he has moved from there, owned his own HVAC company he was a president of it. So he's been in your shoes. He knows what it's like, everything from, you know, ordering to employees to marketing and all that good stuff in between. And so now as he's kind of come back on and really started to help the next generation of HVAC business owner, he has some incredible insights. And so with that, Jim, I'd love to kick it off. In our pre-show call, what we had talked about and one thing that you'd kind of shared is this little framework. And I love, because it's so simple, it's straightforward, it's intuitive, and I'd love to kind of break it down piece by piece, but maybe you can kind of go through it. You know, my first question to you is, hey, what do you say to an HVAC contracting business owner when they go, okay, Jim, give me all of your wisdom right now. You'd broken into four pieces. If you wouldn't mind just kind of sharing briefly what each of those four components are so that our listeners can kind of start to focus in on what might be important in their business.
You bet, Chris. This is my elevator pitch. Okay. That's not a good word to use. The baseball World Series right now, they pitch there, but elevator presentation. So here's what I believe you have to do today. Heating, air conditioning, plumbing contractors, across the board, four things that are essential to help succeed. I want to be clear. These do not guarantee success. You got to have the drive and the enthusiasm and the culture. But the ones that I see succeeding all have four elements in common. Number one, they're in some kind of a networking group, a group that is based solely to build business, okay? BNI is the first one that comes to mind, Business Network International. It is international. You can Google BNI and it'll tell you, okay, here's the people that are in our group. We'll talk more about that later. But the first one is a networking group, a lead group of some kind. Second one, I believe you got to be involved in the community. You got to give back. And that's one of the best ways to build your business is to say, here's what we're supporting. I've got my pink shirt on, support breast cancer. My wife's a 7-year breast cancer survivor. And I'm thrilled when I go into a business and they've got pink gloves, pink work boots, anything at all signifying that they support breast cancer. It's a big deal to us. I believe you got to have maintenance agreements. A maintenance agreement could be one time a year, could be two times a year. There's some different ways to fund that. We'll look at all those here in a minute. And lastly, you got to have financing. Chris, today, I just had the privilege of sitting next to a woman who was a VP with a MasterCard, okay? And so I said, well, I'm curious. So what kind of limits are on an average MasterCard? She said, 2,700. That's our average credit limit. I said, well, that's pretty good. She goes, well, that's not the question to ask. Okay, what's the question to ask? How much of that is available to use today? Less than $1,000. She said it's about $800. So they're carrying a balance of $1,300, $1,400, $1,500. They go, about $800. I don't know if you've been to a dentist lately. That's not enough for a crown, okay? And it's not enough for a muffler, right? So yeah, when you get down to looking at the stuff we bring to the table today, it's more expensive than ever. And so you got to have financing. And I'll share with you the financing elements that I think would be appropriate when we get to that. Is it okay to start on the deeper dive now, or you want to lead that conversation?
Yeah, let's do it. But let's go back to the beginning. Let's talk about networking groups, right? I think, and Jim, you probably run across this all the time, right? Like, this is not to be busy for the sake of being busy, right? It's Ooh, it's trying to be intentional about the time that you're spending, out there in the community, because this is really kind of a community effort, right? If you're using these groups properly to serve your community, I should say that, like, not you're not using these groups, but these groups are a point of leverage, right? And I know I started my business, when I started my business 10 years ago, one of the things my wife did that she was so good is she kind of, she kicked my butt to get out the door and start to make actual introductions, because her dad, who had created a CPA firm many years, that's where him and his partner had kind of initially done it, is they'd gotten in. And one of the things, maybe you can talk about this, like, and I know obviously BNI because I was in it for quite a few years, but some of these groups have very good support networks, not just from the connections that you can make and the ways that you can kind of leverage them, but also just the access to systems and learning materials that you can hone your skills. So maybe talk about, some of the different, networking groups that you've seen other contractors get success with, so that people can kind of start to go. BNI is not the only one, obviously, and we're not sponsored by them, so I don't really care.
BNI is one that's universal. And one of the, let me drop just a few moments on that. The BNI groups, you can go to BNI.com and pull up a group and search for locations. You'll search for Dallas, Texas. There's probably, I haven't done this, but I'll bet there's 30 of them in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, a lot of them. And when you look at each one, it'll say when they meet and what kind of members they already have and what they're looking for. You only get one member in each industry can be allowed. So if you're a heat and air contractor and you look at this and they've already got a heat and air contractor, you're not going to make that one. You could keep looking and find one that says, yeah, we need a heat and air contractor. Apply. You go. It's probably, I'm going to say, $500 or $600 a year. It's not a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You got to spend some time. Okay. And there's two ways BNI works. They might meet at lunchtime or they might meet for breakfast. I'd go to the breakfast meeting. The attorneys, doctors, people that control their own schedules meet for lunch. And there's nothing wrong with that. But literally, heat and air companies typically don't control the schedule. We kind of follow where the emergencies are. Yeah. You can call us firemen at some point because we go where things are happening, And so that means if you could get to a meeting that starts at 7 and goes to maybe 8:30, they last about an hour and a half. That's probably a perfect one because that's where the other contractors are, the plumbers, heating, air conditioning guys, painters, guys that sell cars, all kinds of stuff. And you got to go in there saying, I want to help them build their business. That's the attitude you got to have. If you go in saying, hey, I'm here, go ahead, give me some business. Well, you might find yourself uninvited to that BNI group. But literally, if you go in saying, I want to help them build, and you begin with rigorous discipline to say, how am I going to support the roofer today? How am I going to support the painter? How am I going to support the guy that does landscaping? Well, by mentioning them to your customers. That's how you're going to support them. And so many BNI groups have a little catalog made up, and you can take that with you. And when you're on a call, go, hey, by the way, here's some people that I have vetted. How have you vetted them? You met them personally. And one of the criteria for BNI, you got to be able to make decisions to be in that group. You can't be somebody that just works in the office doing payroll or something. That's a needed task, but that's not the people of BNI. BNI is the managers and people that can make decisions. So there's LATIP. There's 400 probably across the planet in your area. Now, Rotary. I hired a guy named Dean Rowland back in the day in Phoenix, Arizona. I was running a company called Donnelly Service Center. Did about $6 million a year. I hired a guy from Indianapolis, Dean Rowland. Wait for it. 38 years of perfect attendance at Rotary. That's a 3 and an 8. That's almost 4 decades. And what Rotary allows you to do, if you miss a meeting, say you're on vacation, you can make it up by going to another meeting. Or on your vacation, you can go to a Rotary meeting. I've done that. I've got on my wall here, I've got the Rotary Club from Frankfurt, Germany on the wall. Hey, I got one of their flyers. So I've done that myself. And Rotary is a service above self type organization. It's not necessarily meant to build business. However, I'll guarantee you, my home up here in I'm in Dallas, Texas, Flower Mound, a little suburb up here. My home, my insurance policy, the realtor that sold me the home, all came from Rotary, every one of them. Because I had a Rotary connection back in Phoenix when we moved up here. And I said, who should I talk to? And they said, oh, talk to Jim Mole. He's your Rotary guy there. Luckily, the Rotary meeting is on Friday morning at 7:30. Perfect. Perfect. So I get in there and by 9:30, quarter to 10, we're done. So I can still make some business that day. So you got to be involved, I believe, in a networking group of some kind where you have somebody else helping you build your business. It's just critical to survival. You can't afford to advertise enough to build a path to your door. It's going to cost you a lot of money. And literally, we've got members that say, well, we're spending 22% on marketing and advertising. You think it's too much? Whoa, 22%? Chris, does that seem like a lot? Yes, it does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a great way, and it's a good way to be involved in the community, number one, but it's a great way to build a business by helping somebody else build their business. So that's my take on networking.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. I appreciate that. You know, I think the other thing, and you were kind of hinting at this towards the end there, right, is that, I mean, we get so caught up with all the digital marketing. And obviously, I know that, you know, being in that space, right? And, you know, Obviously, I love it when a client's spending 22% on marketing. Like, that's great. That's that means they got some pockets and there's some services. But do you really need to be there? I don't think, you know, working at your optimal efficiency, you would be if you were taking advantage of some more sort of maybe organic channels, because I think the power, like what you're talking about, is if you go in there and obviously this is from, you know, BNI is the giver's gain mindset of like, hey, how can I help these other businesses?
Exactly.
And you have to understand that, like, you know, especially if you've been in business for a while, and even if you haven't, I mean, most HVAC contractors, right? It's not like you just come out of, you know, your technician training, right? And then you just like start a company, right? There's like importance of you getting your license and all that stuff. Yeah. Like you got to get certified. So like you've made connections already along the way. So you already have resources and connections, and you're probably not, you know, 19 years old either. So, you know, you probably got some kids, or you got a wife, or you got a church, or you got all these different connections that you could potentially make. And that's where I started, because when I started in BNI, you know, I was brand new in the Seattle area. You know, now obviously I'm in Dallas, but I didn't know anybody. You know, I didn't grow up there, right? So like what I was doing in BNI is I was going from chapter to chapter, and I was making connections within the BNI network and then outside the BNI network of connecting two people that should meet each other, right? And so kind of thinking about being the catalyst, well, it's all going to lead back to you. They're going to be like, hey, how did we get connected? Remember Jim? He connected us. Oh yeah, that's right. Jim connected us, right? And then you're that consummate connector. And that's where you build that reputation, so that you can start to get introduced. You know, not only will you know the real estate, you know, person in your BNI chapter, who every time they close, you know, business, not that they have to give you business, but theoretically, if you're doing a good job, you're showing up, you're being there, they're going to refer their customers, their clients to you. Well, that's them referring a direct customer, but that person who's in the neighborhood's probably going to refer, you know, the person next door, because probably nobody cared to give them an actual referral, right? And so you understand that. What's that?
It keeps on going. Yeah, it
does. Yeah, and that's the problem, is you don't understand that, like, you pull on this one thread and it can lead to, you know, that. And then maybe if you're doing commercial services, right, if you're connecting up with the electrician in the group, right, he's installing things, but he also needs somebody to actually put it in. And so, like you said, I think it's a can of worms that you want to open, right? Because there's so many fish that you could be fishing for, you know, both big and small, through that network. But it requires time on the front end that might not seem monetarily to be netting you immediately, but your consistency can grow. And then also thinking through, you'd mentioned managers. you can put your manager in that seat. You can put your GM in there. Eventually, as you're kind of working your way up and now you're maybe like, you know, schmoozing and connecting at a whole new level, your manager can be in that chapter and they can be causing that referral. So
let me touch base on one more thing regarding networking groups. I was in a group called Egypt, Executive Association Greater Phoenix, Egypt.
Yep.
And they were the premier group, and I was number 13, And it was a personal membership. So I ran a company called Climate Control, big mechanical contractor in Phoenix. Yep. They were purchased by a utility out of New York. And so I moved my business, I moved my personal connection to the Egypt group down to Donnelly Service Center. Jim Donnelly is a friend of mine. I came in as general manager, VP of sales. And so I moved it personally over there. And I can remember clearly there was an electrician in there that gave us a lot of leads, And we gave him leads. And at one point he said, well, you know, how do you want to do this? I said, well, I'm not sure what you mean. He goes, well, you know, you want me to send you, if you send somebody over, because a lot of old homes in Phoenix, and they'd have a 60-amp panel, they needed 100 or 200 amp, and it's like $5,000 or $6,000 to change that out.
Yeah,
so
wow.
He'd say, you send me one of those, I'll send you, you know, $500, 10%. I go, no, I don't want that. I don't want any money at all. Well, what do you want? Reciprocity. That's what I want. I just want you to think of us when you're changing out one of those panels and say, hey, by the way, I noticed your air conditioning unit's a piece of junk. Okay. Not exactly in those words, but if you need to look at something, call Jim. And so that's what I wanted. And that's the kind of thing you got to work towards. If you're not careful, they'll begin to send you. You'll send them some business. And if somebody sends some money along with that business, you could have an employee that is on the inside track getting that money, not going to the company. It can be very, and then you might have an employee that's got a vested interest in sending over some leads that aren't really necessary. So I'm not paranoid. I know somebody's out to get me. And so you end up, you got to be careful with that. So I said, I don't want any money. I don't want you to send me money. I don't want to send you money. I want reciprocity. That's what I want. Yep. And you had to prove it by starting a company. So I'm sorry.
I love that. Excited here. And how I'll kind of wrap that up, and then we'll kind of transition in here into maintenance agreements, right? Is that I think especially as we're heading into a questionable economy as we're moving forward, right? A lot of people are kind of getting nervous, right? And nobody really knows what's going to happen with, you know, the way the government's been going, right? But in that regard, right, people are going to be holding on to their pocketbook tighter, right? People aren't going to be, you know, springing and more careless, right? You know, people are going to be, you know, erring for, what I'm kind of educating my clients about is like, you just got to realize that their research phase is probably going to be a little bit longer, right? If the research phase is longer, that's going to cause, you know, the more impulsive, you know, types of marketing channels like, you know, Google ads or a local service ad, those aren't going to, the volume is just going to kind of come down as we're going through this. So if you are heavily invested, not that that's a bad thing, if you're heavily invested in those and you haven't really created a customer base, right, that become loyal to you and is referring you, you might find yourself struggling more than others, right? And so, Jim, what you're talking about is really thinking about the long term and not the short term, right? The short term is, hey, give me $500, I'm happy, right? Instead going, no, I want to build a flow, because in a way you're going to build a culture in that electrical company as well, thinking you know who we do work with? We do work with Donnelly Center, right? And so the idea you're saying is you're creating these relationships that will keep you on the straight and narrow through these tough times as people are, you know, pouring into the industry, doing shoddy work, you're going to remain consistent. And so I think the other piece there is that because of that trust level, when somebody engages in building a new relationship with you as a new prospective customer, right, is that they're going to be willing to trust your recommendations, right? Well, one of those big recommendations is maintenance agreements, right? And I know you guys out there in our industry, you kind of sit on one side or the other of the fence. You don't really ride the fence on these, right? You're either totally for maintenance agreements or you're totally against them, right? And so let's just you know, put down the knives and the guns right now, right? And let's, Jim, maybe you could just share a little insight why it might be something, if you're not doing it right now, that you might entertain it, right? And entertain it in a wholesome way that's really serving the customer. Because I think that's where we kind of go to blows, is like, well, I think it's taking advantage. And other people say, no, it's a useful tool. And so, you know, putting the gloves back on, I don't know, maybe that's not the right thing, but just putting the weaponry down. Then for those who already offer it, maybe just kind of freshening up the reason why and getting your team a little bit more amped up or excited to kind of share and encourage your customers to engage in these, because this is what's going to save them money in the long run, especially through a time of maybe economic struggle or uncertainty. Yep. And so you're really doing right by the customer. But anyways, Jim, maybe you can kind of riff on that a little bit as to like how you would structure that, why you do it, and all that kind of good stuff.
So at Donnelley Service Center, I was there for a decade. We were getting about $1 million a year in revenue from every 1,000 maintenance agreements. When we had 9,000 maintenance agreements, we had $9 million in sales. This last year, they were at $15 million in sales, and they've got 16,000 maintenance agreements. Okay, so a couple of ideas about that. Here's why I think it's a great idea. Number one, you catch those small problems before they turn into showstoppers. You can have a cracked condenser fan blade, and anybody listening will know what that looks like. And that can run that way for a year. But I can guarantee you, when they shatter and explode, you can take out a condenser coil. You can shut down a system. And now you got this unit that's 12 years old, needs a condenser fan blade. They're not in stock anywhere. And today, Chris, that's more important than ever, to catch those problems before they disintegrate. Because the parts, there's a very long list of parts that are not available today just on a whim. We used to be able to say, well, we can go down to the distributor and probably got everything I need there within reason. They don't have it anymore. It's not available to them anymore. It might be in a truck somewhere in Chicago, but it's not at our place. So, right?
Right.
So that's a great idea to have a maintenance program. It levels out the workload. So you could have right now in Dallas, Texas, let me just look and see what it is, 45 degrees today. Whew. But later on this week, it's going to be in the 80s again. Well, what that is, that's millionaire weather. They don't need heat nor cooling, right? They're feeling brighter. Well, you've got, let's just pretend you got 6 or 8 technicians and they're waiting on those calls. Now you got something for them to do. Take a look at a system. Take a look and do some maintenance on a system. The other thing great about a maintenance agreement program, once you get it set up and you have some that you've already done the maintenance on, what a great training ground for those new guys coming in. You can show them, here's what a system looks like that's 2 years old, that's in good shape. We've already done 3 maintenances on it. And they can go, oh, okay. Well, I guarantee you, you send a new guy out on a 28-year-old heat pump that's been miswired and it's got all kinds of controls on it that weren't there from the factory. And he's going, what am I looking at? You know, and they grab their phone and they start going, oh, let me show you what I'm looking at here. And you go, oh, get off that, leave that property now. We'll send a guy out with examples. So it's a great way to train those new employees and get them to feel confident about what we're doing. If I were setting up a maintenance green program right now, here's what I do. And it depends on the market you're in, but let's just take Phoenix, Arizona. I lived there 28 years. Phoenix, Arizona is great. Our company didn't do 2 inspections on every single maintenance agreement. We had some that were newer, and heat pumps are a big thing there. Lots of heat pumps. So literally, you could come into a heat pump in March or April, do 1 inspection, test both the heating and the cooling on the same visit, and be done with it. And literally, that's being done a lot if it's less than 5 years old. A lot of companies have gone to 1 inspection on a less than 5-year-old system because the chances are pretty good you're not going to find a major problem. Then it gets over 5 years old, maybe some even say 10, you could go to 2 inspections a year. And I would, for me, I'd have some options for the homeowners. Here's plan B, plan A, gold plan, silver plan, call it whatever you want, but let them choose what they want. I know this. I know that a maintenance agreement and a properly maintained unit will operate longer. It'll operate with less electricity, more comfort. You find those small problems before they turn into showstoppers. So that's the whole reason for it. Now, you got a question? Go ahead.
Well, yeah, before we jump into that, because I know you're going to get into some other good stuff, is I think you're touching on two things that I think are really important.
Yeah.
One I think is, I didn't even think about this, but like you're talking about, is it's the opportunity to train up your techs, right? Yes. At a much more rapid rate. And, you know, if you think about it, and I'm sure there's, you know, I don't even know the stat off the top of my head, right? But I would say that most, you know, people leave because they don't feel like they're getting the training they need. They're not getting educated the way, and they don't feel cared for, right? And they might just get pushed aside, you know, constantly, and they get these less complex jobs, right? And, you know, I'm at, you know, being a millennial, I guess myself, right? Is like, I want to be engaged, right? I want to be learning something, right? So like, if you take me out on a call where I'm just a gopher, right? And all I do is, you know, go for it in the truck, right? And I'm not really actually learning anything because it's a project, we're on a timeline, we got to speed through this thing, and I'm not learning, well, I'm going to feel neglected and not cared for. And my eyes are going to start wandering at other, you know, companies that maybe I'm seeing, you know, two techs are going out and the guy's obviously learning, because that's what I want to do. I want to learn, right? You know, and if you're hungry, you want to own your own HVAC, you know, outfit, right? So like you just want to consume. So I love that idea of like, you're almost building loyalty within your employees by taking opportunities to educate them. And this can be in the slow times, right? You know, the times when, you know, maybe you don't have as much stuff, and it's like, great, get those guys out there, get them trained up, get them exposure to that, you know, 20-year-old, you know, system that they're looking at it all confused because they can't just, you know, hook up their, you know, their newfangled, you know, equipment and just get a readout and a code that they just go back to the book and they go, oh yeah, this is that. Instead, it's like, you actually have to use your brain and you have to understand the actual cycle and the system you're working with. Right. So I think that's number one. But number two, what you're hinting at, and this is what I'm talking, you know, to my clients all the time about, right, is your reputation comes off of the trust that the customer has with you. Right. And if you're not letting them know, like, you're almost doing a disservice to your client. Because I think a lot of people go, oh yeah, maintenance agreements, you know, that's just you taking money from the client. I would disagree, obviously. And there's, you know, stuff to back that up. But think about it this way. Okay. You know, again, put down your knives, put down your guns, right? Think of it this way. What is your customer going to think of you if you don't do a maintenance plan and you don't actually come and, you know, find a small problem before it becomes a big problem? Instead, you know, they don't hear from you, they have a big problem. Do you think they're going to call you? They are not going to call you, because what they're going to do is they're going to blame you. They're going to say, well, you know what? I've been with so-and-so HVAC for 10 years and they haven't said anything about this issue. There's no way I'm letting them change out my system, right? But if you come out and you build that goodwill going, hey, you know, just so you know, I tweaked this, that, and the other thing. Other than that, your system's good. Well, and then you start to tell them, hey, just so you know, you're probably got 5 more years out of this system. We can do this repair. It's going to help you this. It's going to get you a little bit more life. Okay. And then they know for 5 years, they know that it's coming, and they don't want it to come, but eventually there's going to be the day where that you come out and you go, hey, you know, we talked about this. It wasn't going to last forever. Now's the time, we got to change it out. They're not going to go, you guys screwed me over. It's gonna be like, nah, I know, you've been telling me this for 5 years. I've been kicking the can down the road. Okay, how much is this going to cost? And they're going to trust you to do the install, as opposed to feeling like you screwed them over. You left them high and dry. And now they got a broken system that failed them 5 years early. And now they're looking at the guy down the road because they don't trust you. And now you don't have a good name in the community because, I don't know, maybe they'll write you a review, obviously my world. Or, you know, hopefully they just stay quiet, but they're still going to tell a neighbor when the neighbor calls, like, who are you going to go with? Well, don't go with these guys, because they've been with me for 10 years and then boom, my system died on me. And so you got to realize, you got to get ahead of that stuff. So anyways, Jim, I wanted to highlight that, because I think that's another piece. Like, there's the financial piece, but there's the trust piece that I think is even more important than what you're saying.
And Chris, what can we build? You're the marketing genius here in the room, so I appreciate that. What can you build traction with? Well, we're having a special today to change out your heating air conditioning system, $12,995. And people are going, well, I don't want to spend $12,000.
Yeah.
Or we're having a tune-up special for $79. Oh, well, $79. Chris, today, If I go to lunch with my wife, it's going to be close to $70. I don't care where you're going. Applebee's even, you know, you can't get, it's just crazy. But If you get a value proposition put together and market that, and it goes back to what you just said, trust, it builds that trust. And you go, yeah, I'll go ahead and give them a chance. And once you get the guys in there, they have got to be good at saying, Ms. Jones, we're so glad you let us come to look at your system. Here's what I found. I found everything's in order. You shouldn't have to worry. Or here's three things that I would be concerned about going forward. Like going to the dentist. He's going to tell you, hey, you got that molar back there and it's cracked and we can put a patch on it, or you can pull it and put a post in and put a, you know, a new tooth in.
Yeah.
He's going to let you know that ahead of time, though. It won't be on the first visit. They're going to do a good thorough cleaning on the first visit. And I'm saying on this because I got to go to the dentist tomorrow to get a crown put in. I know this, okay? But he didn't do it on the first visit, okay? So
yeah,
I think it's great to have a system in place where you can get involved with customers, whether they're new or existing, either one, and build trust. Because that's exactly what you just said. You got to have that trust factor sky high to turn around and ask 15 grand. And in many cases, the average system going in today is 15 grand. We used to say this is the third biggest purchase you ever have is a heating air conditioning system. No, it's now number two. Because there's a whole bunch of cars out there, less than 20 grand, but there's a whole bunch of air conditioners now.
That's true.
20 grand, right? So now, talking about those maintenance agreements, can we spend just one more idea?
Let's do it. Yep.
How do you get them paid for? The favorite way that I see in the marketplace is monthly. So instead, let's just say you got a maintenance agreement program, two inspections, $200 a year. Well, that's about $17 a month. Well, well, Chris, I don't know about you, but on my MasterCard bill, when I get that bill, $17 is, I don't even see that, right?
Yep.
Something, $200, ah, whoa, I see that number. And I'd rather not have that number. And if I'm looking at $2,400 total, I'm going to go, well, we got to stop this, you know? Yeah, right. Chris, the harsh reality, I've been married 54 years. I don't even see the MasterCard bill. Okay. So, but I know this, $17 is under the radar.
Yep.
And it's not at that point, it's not a 1-year agreement. Not a 2-year agreement, goes to infinity. And can they cancel? Sure. And cancel anytime. I'd let them cancel anytime. What do you do when it's a brand new customer and they say, come on out, $17, and they do one thing with you, just the maintenance, and then they cancel? Well, you got to have a way to work around that, because some people are like that. So you got to say, well, it's 6 months paid in advance before we do the first tune-up. Okay. So either they wait or they pay 6 months in advance. There's some ways to do it. Now, last component on maintenance agreements. How do you get the technicians to sell them? Here's how. You get them involved. So I'm a proponent of giving a spiff of some kind for selling a maintenance agreement. So let's just say your $200 maintenance agreement per year, you gave them, pick a number, $20, okay?
Mm-hmm.
First time, not on renewals, first time. Well, what I'm going to do, if they get it put together on a monthly plan at $17, I'll give them $1 a month for as long as that maintenance agreement's in place, $1 a month. We've got members of ours. There's a guy in Arizona I know that's got two technicians in there that are over $400 a month just on maintenance agreement payments. And the guy tells you, hey, my wife's driving a new Mustang with my maintenance agreement money. I didn't have to turn a wrench. And it goes on literally, even if he's sick, it's still going on. Now, if they cancel the maintenance agreement, the customer's not paying any longer, then he loses $1 a month. But literally, you could build up a residual there. That's what the insurance companies do, and that's how they pay insurance salesmen. So I think that's a great idea to have a maintenance agreement program. Literally, the company I use, AAA, right here in Dallas, says we don't do maintenances from, I think it's the end of May through the beginning of October. But they just kicked them back up in October. We've already had ours done for the year. Yes, I know how to do a maintenance. I have somebody else do it just so I've got them responsible. And if something goes south, I know who I can call. And if I call them on a weekend because I got a maintenance agreement, they're likely come and solve it. So that's my take on maintenance agreements. I think it's a great idea. We feel
I love it, Jim, because I think for every objection you might raise to a maintenance agreement, there is a solution to how you can address that. Like you're saying, well, you know, what if they're going to cancel on us? Well, simply just say something really clear. You either pay 6 months up front and we get that maintenance agreement, you know, we get your first maintenance done now, right? And we just kind of wash this out, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, you can't use it for 6 months. And most people, like you said, that seems totally reasonable, right? And so, you know, it's not like people are thinking of their HVAC system like all the time, right? Like, it's not like it's a daily thing. I mean, but when it's not working, they sure do, right?
There
and
is,
I think the other two, the other piece, you know, just, I mean, there's ways to teach your technicians to kind of sell this. And again, it shouldn't be a hard sell because it's such a, I mean, everybody's got, the, I mean, think about your iPhone, right? Everybody's paying their $32-45 a month, right? You know? And so it's like, you offer them an option like Apple Finance, you know, like the equivalent of Apple financing, right? Everybody's going to be like, oh yeah, yeah, just add that on the card. You know, I got enough of those, you know, just go ahead. It's only $17. I mean, shoot. You know, I spend more on milk in a month, right? For me and my kids, right? So it's like, it's one of those things, like you're saying, it's just, it's such a no-brainer. And, you know, on top of that, right, you know, with the technician involved in that, they're starting to build that relationship because they want to keep that $1. And I think as well, it's one of those things, employee loyalty, right? If a guy's getting $400 a month, that's paying for his wife's Mercedes, right? Then he right. ain't gonna, you know, he's probably not gonna leave the company because he's like, well, shoot, I get this $400 a month Benny, you know, just for doing work. I mean, I'm still getting paid on work I did six, seven years ago. Like, why wouldn't I keep with this company, right? Let me renegotiate or see what I can do with my hourly rate or whatever the case may be, right? They're gonna be a little bit more loyal to you as a result. So I love that. And so maybe you could talk a little bit about, you know, you were kind of alluding to it, but like financing, I think that's another like piece of like what we need to be thinking about. If you're not thinking about it, the importance of financing, maybe where somebody could go for resources for that. I know you guys over at Service Nation recommend a couple of guys, right? Or a couple of different companies. And so, you know, the importance of having a good partner there, because that's also going to be a reflection on you, right? If they're feeling like they're getting screwed by the, you know, the financing people that you work with, you know, that could really reflect badly. I always liken it to, like, you're talking about the dentist, right? I can't tell you how many like dentists get negative reviews because the health insurance or the dental insurance that the patient uses like screwed them. And then the poor dental office gets crucified for it.
yeah, that's exactly right. So talking about financing. So I'm going to mix it up a little bit because I'm a Dave Ramsey fan. Okay. Dave Ramsey.
Yeah.
And so if they can't afford it, they shouldn't buy it, Chris. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
That's not true. Okay. So I'm messing with you now. So I understand the Dave Ramsey concept. If they can't afford it, they shouldn't buy it. However, this is something that's vital to our health and well-being in the home. Okay. Yeah. So in this case, I got to have a way to make it easy for them to purchase a $25,000 system if it's needed. I'm very clear. I don't want to have somebody out there twisting arms going, oh, you need this, Mrs. Jones. Gosh, there's only two of these units left in the nation. The plant that makes them burned down last week. I've got two of them. I got another salesman out there. Yeah, we're not doing that. But I want to have a package that makes it easy for them to look at adding comfort to their home. Mm-hmm. Lower utility bill, indoor air quality, making it more comfortable, even temperatures. We got all kinds of things that can happen today that 10 years ago wasn't available.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, help them with that. So I'm going to say we've got Good Leap is one of our members that offers financing, and they specifically offer financing for home improvements and specifically for energy efficiency home improvements. Mm. So they do a lot of work with the solar industry, with adding heating and air conditioning, insulation, windows, things like that. So they know that market. So you look at a heating and air conditioning system today, you can get systems out there that are double the efficiency, meaning they operate for half the cost. So there's some great paybacks. And what I say is get the longest term you can. I would say 10 years minimum. There's a bunch of programs out there that have 12 years on them, but there's a lot of them that have 15 years. And here's what's good about a 15-year term. Number one, the heating air conditioning system has an average life of 18 years across the nation. So there's a good chance it'll still be running through that warranty period. And number two, if you have a 7% loan in 15 years, it's about a 1% payment factor. So it's easy. So if you say it's a Let's just say it's $18,795. Well, it's going to be about $189 a month, period. And so no prepayment penalty. Well, I paid off fast. That's fine. Not a problem. Those plans can typically take you down to about a 680 or 650 credit score. I need to have, in addition to that, a second look component, yeah, which says automatically if they don't make the first cut, if they're not eligible and they need a cosigner or they need to look at some different plans, you got to make that seamless so they don't have to reapply. And there's a whole bunch of people, it's called the second look. And there's almost all our financing partners say that. Yeah, we'll take it. So they don't have to reapply. It's the phone doesn't even click. I mean, it seamlessly goes to the next area of, I don't know what they call that, the credit availability and scoring. So financing is critical. And you know, we've known that for decades, but I guarantee you, I still get calls today from guys saying, do you think I need to offer financing? Yeah, you do. And they'll have one plan. They'll have a plan that's 5 years, 0% interest. Well, that might be effective, but in many cases, people don't believe it's 0% interest. It's like when you buy that car with 0%. They know the money's in there somewhere. Somebody paid some money for that.
Yeah.
So I'd rather be upfront and say, hey, here's what we got. 7% interest, 15-year note, 10-year note, whatever it is. Here's what the payment is. And then I'm going to tell them, by the way, with this new system, it'll save you about $40 a month on your utility bill. So while it's $180, it's not really that much out of pocket. You're going to save $40 a month. So it's $140. So think of it as a, Chris, do you ever go to Starbucks?
All the time. I lived in Seattle. They were on every street corner.
Oh, they are. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So I do too. And a mocha frappuccino, my drink of choice, is about $5. So you got that every day. It's a mocha frappuccino a day. And then you're paying for your system.
Yep.
My wife and I were building a house in Colorado a few years ago. And we go to this interior decorator and we're picking up flooring. And so I wanted wood flooring. Well, that's not the $2 a square foot flooring. That's wood flooring. And my wife and I both have the Starbucks cup in our hand. And she goes, yeah, you know, if you didn't buy that expensive coffee, you could afford any flooring you want. And I said, yeah, you know, I'm going to afford any flooring I want because I've got the money and I love my Starbucks coffee. So quit preaching to me and sell me some flooring. So, you know, and I'm fine with paying. And so, yeah, we are Starbucks fans. Now, we don't go as often as we used to. We used to go daily, but we have a walk. We do a 2.5 mile walk round trip and we go down to Starbucks. One of us will usually get a drink and we walk back. So it's exercise. That's how I'm viewing it.
Well, and then how do you put the value on, you know, time with your significant other, right? I think that's the other piece.
Thank you. It's priceless. It is priceless, right? And we travel a lot. We just got back from a trip last week, went back to Maryland and it was a great trip. And we started off every morning with a trip to Starbucks.
Nice.
Give us a chance to reconnect and say, well, what are you doing today? Well, we're going to take a tour of this shop. And so, we do that. So going back to my concept, financing is critical.
Yeah.
And now I got one more thing to share. Do we have time?
Let me just hit on one thing there. I think what you had just said is really important too. And I hadn't thought about this until you brought it up, but making sure you've got a backup that can get that next tier, because if you think about it, right, you're presenting a pretty significant investment in the home, right? And I think most people are so, you know, weird about money, right? You know, it's so interesting, the difference in dynamic of money in my wife's family versus my family and just the dynamics there. Like, I mean, just like stark contrast, right? But most people don't want to talk about it. And for, you know, good reason, I understand that. But what you're saying is you could potentially put your relationship, you could strain the relationship with a customer if you don't give them an option, or you make them feel like they're inadequate or they don't deserve or whatever, right? You know, because you got to realize like that dollar amount, $180 a month, is tied to a whole you know, string of stuff, right? And you don't want to pull on that thread and unwind that sweater if you don't have to. So like you said, saying, hey, you know, if you qualify, you know, we've got these. And just so you know, if you know, sometimes our clients, you know, don't meet this for XYZ reason.
Good.
We do have a backup plan so that they feel like you've created some options and opportunities for them, regardless of where they're at, because you know it's been a crazy couple of last years, right? And and there's a whole myriad of reasons. I mean, they still might be making $250,000 at, you know, at the local Fortune 500 company, but maybe something happened with the last house, or maybe something happened with the car, or a kid got sick, or whatever the case may be. There might be a myriad of reasons why their credit score isn't where it is. So making sure that they're not going to lose face, or that they can save face with you, I think is such an important piece. So I love that, Jim. That's a great insight. And it makes sure that you as an HVAC owner don't get caught with your pants down, embarrassing one of your clients unnecessarily. Yeah. So, right. Cause that also might be the reason that they go to your competitor, right? Is saying, well, they had more options kind of thing. Yep. So yeah, go ahead. What's the last thing?
You got to set that up. You tee that up on the start and say, by the way, I know you possibly looked at other financing packages, but this is different than a car. A car, you miss two payments, they'll come out and take that car back and they can sell it again. They can't do that with a heating, air conditioning unit. Once it's installed in the house, you have to go to a sheriff's sale of that property. Not going to happen. So there's no recourse. And that's why it's a different package, completely different package. And it has higher levels of approval needed. But you let them know that. Say, hey, not everybody has the ability. And I used to think, well, they're deadbeats. If they got a score of 620, they're deadbeats. Well, they could have a kid that was in the ER for 6 months. And that happened to friends of ours. $1.8 million went past the $1 million cap they had on their health insurance. And they declared bankruptcy. And the hospital, to the hospital's credit, they didn't kick them out. And so, but the bill kept running. So that's the kind of things that happen today. So I would definitely have some financing options for them.
Yeah.
Good.
Awesome. Well, Jim, hey, let's grab this one last piece of nugget before we wrap up. Lay it on me. What did you have?
Good. Okay. So here's what I tell our members. You got to be involved in the community. And some way you got to give back to the community. And so there's a whole thing on Facebook that you could do. We've got members that are supporting no-kill shelters for the Humane Society, you know? And how do you do that? Well, you say every maintenance agreement you buy will contribute enough money to the Humane Society to buy a leash and a collar every time. Now, if you want to adopt a dog, we'll give you the maintenance agreement at no charge. So you do some creative things like that. We've got a guy that does, he's got a friend of his owns an ice cream store. He says, you buy a system from us, you get $500 worth of ice cream. And it's what that is 10 $50 coupons once a month. Okay.
Wow.
And the ice cream owner says, well, he bought it for half that. It cost him $25. Instead of 50. But the ice cream owner says, hey, it's one of those, it's a place with the real cold counter that where they mix
like Cold Stone.
Cold Stone, yeah.
My favorite.
He says, yeah, they come in here. If they've got a family with them, a $50 bill will be gone like that, usually 60 or 70. And then they're in the habit of coming here and they come back the next week. So there's some great things you can do with the neighborhood and with the community to give back. And then you're connecting up. And when they bring that coupon in, the guy says, oh, you're one of Donnelly Service Center customers. Congratulations. They do a great job. So it's reinforcement. So, that's what I have.
Love it.
I'm sorry.
Love it. No, that's great. And, you know, like you're saying, I think it's important. It's just getting creative. Right. Yeah. Giving yourself some creative license, because not only can you link up really well with a local business. Right. And create that relationship and just that, like that synergy, like you're saying, where their decisions are being ratified and affirmed by another business. Like, you're working with Donald, you know, Donnelly Center, smart choice, right? Something simple
that's
like
it.
That. Right.
That's it.
I think that's important. And then, you know, the other piece of, I totally just lost my train of thought there, but, the idea of, you know, doing the thing for like the Humane Society, like, by the way, just don't do the thing for the Humane Society. Go find something that you're passionate about. Are you passionate about veterans, right? Are you passionate about dogs? Are you passionate about children, right? Like whatever that is, like lean into it and realize that that's also part of your story. Like put that on your About Us page, right? Cause like people are going to naturally gravitate towards that. And it's also going to make you not look like this, you know, austere sort of like corporate enterprise behemoth that doesn't care about, you know, John and Joe Q Public. Instead, you're going to feel like a member of the community because, like you said, you're reinvesting in the community in whatever capacity. And it's also a talking point. Like, hey, I saw that you guys were, you know, supporting veterans or whatever. I think that's such an important piece. And like you said, those gift certificates, you know, that's actually one of the things that we use with our referral programs is like, hey, you know, pay it forward, right? You know, here's a gift certificate to go give to one of your friend or family members, because that's such an easy way to accelerate the word of mouth marketing that you want to create organically by giving a compelling reason for somebody to take that action, that next step, to open their mouth, right? Or to make a connection that maybe they had thought about, but then, I mean, we got a million things going on, right? So like, if there's not a compelling reason or a compelling nudge to do it, you're just not going to follow up. And if it's not easy and it doesn't make you feel good, like that, let's be honest, we're all selfish creatures, right? Like if it's not going to make me feel good that I'm doing something for somebody, like I'm not going to do it. Right. But you put that little added thing of like, hey, it's a leash and a collar. You kind of go, well, I feel good for that dog and I'm so good. And you know, all that kind of good stuff. Right. So awesome.
Perfect.
Well, Jim, thank you so much. I really appreciate your insight. We're probably going to have to do this again, take some deep dives into some other areas, because I know your expertise spans such a large swath of the industry. And but in the meantime, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, connect with you, maybe they're interested in Service Nation or even getting started with Service Roundtable, like what would be the best way for them to kind of get in contact with you or reach out so that they can maybe pick your brain a little bit more or get pointed in the right direction for maybe some next steps that they might have in their business that could help them?
So I got a couple of numbers for you. The office number, 877-807-0869. That's our main office number.
Okay.
You can call my cell phone direct. I get calls all the time. My cell phone, 602-369-8097. And I'll take the call. If I'm not in session, I will take the call and share anything they want. They don't have to be a member. They could be a prospect. They could be a friend. I get calls from homeowners saying, hey, what about this? Yeah, I'll tell you what to do. And I've got an email address, jhinshaw, that's J-H-I-N-S-H-A-W, at servicenation.com.
Awesome.
And I do text. So they can text me.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Jim. I appreciate it. I think you win the record. You're the first person to give their cell phone out. But I think, you know, and as I was thinking, you sharing that, I think that what's so cool about that is like, you know, that's the ethos and the community that, you know, we're trying to build here for our HVAC contractors. Our industry is changing so rapidly, so fast. I think we need to rely on and lean on each other more and more. And I think we need more channels and outlets and places for people to, you know, connect with those resources. So I'm so grateful for you being so available to our channel members and podcast listeners. And so thank you again, Jim, for showing up. Like I said, we'll have to have you on again. Everybody listening, thank you so much for your support. We really appreciate it. Obviously, listening all the way through means the world to me. Those reviews, that's where I stake my lifeblood for the last 10 years in building my agency, and I continue to do and serve the HVAC industry in that capacity, but it means so much. So if you will take that time to write a review, it helps other HVAC contractors and owners find out about us and about this podcast so that they can plug into, you know, great knowledge like Jim with years and decades of service and insight into the industry, so that they can just level up their business and we can improve the overall reputation of our industry by just making sure that we're all doing better contracting work and building better, stronger companies that are going to last, taking care of our employees, and just going on and on and on about how we can continue to serve our communities, because that's why you started your business. So please like, subscribe, plug in. I will make sure that all of Jim's contact information is also in the description of this podcast and YouTube channel, so that people can reach out to him easily, because I'm sure you're probably in the car and the idea of writing is probably going to cause you to crash your company car, and we don't want that to happen. That's bad. That's bad for business, right? So with that, thank you so much for plugging in, and we will see you on the next episode. Take care.
Thank you much. Enjoyed it.
Yeah.